You're with Annie and Toby on Solidarity Breakfast on your community radio 3CR. And we've got Andrew Nunn on the line. G'day, Andrew Nunn. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And the reason why we've got you up on a Saturday morning is because you're going to tell us about the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues. And it occurs to me that this is a new name for something that used to be happening, right?
I think it's been the Wang Jazz and Blues Festival for a while. I think when it initially started, it was just the jazz festival. But, yeah, I think the blues part of it's been there for...
Okay, and yeah. So, but it faltered a little bit, did it? And it's resurrected.
Correct. Yeah, it's just been a pretty rough, I don't know how many years now, 5 to 8 years, I guess, where it's sort of been on a downward slope and to the point last year where they called it the last hurrah. But, yeah, there are enough people locally that said that's not happening and we all got together and we're having a good practice here, so...
Oh, goodness, that's very exciting for you then. Is this a good steep learning curve for you personally?
Yeah, I've never done anything like this in my life before, so I've had to learn a lot very, very fast. There are enough people that put their hand up to help once they saw what we were trying to do, and we've got a really good team now with a bit of experience and... we're ready to rock and roll, Alex, or whatever the jazz.
Jazz and groove. Groove, be groovy. Yeah. Jazz and blues. And does the whole town get taken over, or is that what you're expecting?
We've got 13 or 14 venues that have jumped on board, so there's definitely going to be a bigger presence of the festival this year. We feel like we can't be quiet about it, but there are still people around that still don't know exactly what's happening in town. So we think it's probably going to be a 2 or 3 year process before we get our really, really big buzzer festival going. But there's plenty of support this year, and I think anyone that comes is going to have a good time.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they will. I mean, it's good to get out of the big city and go off to a nice place like Wangaratta. This is November 1 to the 4th, and you've got lots of people already booked.
Yeah, we've sold, I think it's around 1,900 tickets already.
That just goes to show how many people are longing for such a festival.
Yeah, so I think last year we sold, the festival sold, and all the feedback I'm getting from sort of the PR people and previous organisers is this next 2 weeks is when the people really start buying. So, yeah, I don't really know how big it's going to get, but we spent a lot of time this year thinking what if no one comes, and we've sort of had to change our thinking a little bit to what if too many people come. So.
Oh, that's exciting. No, that's really exciting. Because, I mean, that's the thing about it's all about bums on seats, but in actual fact, you know, you do all the organising, having been in this position myself, and then you do get that awful feeling, what if nobody comes?
It's frightening sometimes. Once I get out in public and start chatting, I'm okay, but sometimes, you know, in the dark of the night when you're sitting there thinking about it all, you go, oh, gosh.
What have I let myself in for?
Yeah, but anyway, like I said, I've got really cool people around me, some experienced campaigners, and we've got a good team. So,
and I mean, you're providing a net community benefit. So at the end of the day, the mission statement is the most important one, because beyond that, you're providing the community and the broader Melbourne, Victorian area an access point for music that they'd have otherwise might not be aware of.
Yeah, it's a good point, mate. What we've probably noticed is that the community ownership aspect of the festival's really slipped. So that was a really big focus. It's just to go, right, let's make sure that Wangaratta actually owns this and we're paying host to anyone that comes into town rather than, you know, people from outside trying to come into our town and host this event. Let's flip that on its head a little bit and go, right, you know, we're Wangaratta. We've got really, really, really good hospitality venues. We've got access to really good music. Let's just tie it all into one and have a great 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, and that's the thing about things that are community based, because it really gives a sense of belonging, which is one of the things that is missing a little bit in when it comes to entertainment, I'll have to say.
Yeah, and I think being in the role that I've got, a lot of sort of dealing with the stakeholders, so I'm getting to hear the backstories on why people have jumped on board. I can't share them because a lot of them are quite personal, and you know, there's people dealing with pretty big situations in their life that are using the festival to express, you know, some grief or to, you know, move through something. So there's a real personalised feel to this year. It's I think if you get here and start chatting to the people that are doing things and get to hear the backstory, you'll go, oh, okay, there's a bit in this.
Yeah, it's got juices. Tell us about the lineup.
So Serge from the Paris Cat has done a fantastic job. So I went down and saw him. When I saw him in January, we were just talking about it yesterday. He goes, when I first met you, Andy, and you were talking to him in the alleyway out the front, I thought you were mad. he's had to deal with a different budget each month. So when we first started, we obviously had no money. And then we've just been able to gradually build up a kitty to the point where Serge has put on a great lineup. So we've got Vince Jones is probably our headliner.
Yep.
Hedy Kate's coming. Cooking on Three Burners is bringing a different kind of flavour for our closing party.
They're amazing. I mean, I started to trawl. Well, I looked at your lineup and I trawled for some, you know, hear what the sounds of the people are that you've got on your lineup. I mean, I know Vince Jones, but Cooking on Three Burners, they're a deliciously exciting little band, aren't they?
They're really, really cool. And, you know, if you jump on Spotify and have a look at some of their hits, you know, some, they've got over a billion hits, a couple of their songs.
Yeah.
They're no mugs.
Lots of fun involved.
Yeah, and that gig's going to be held out at Brown Brothers Winery too. So I think previously, you know, many years ago, they were involved in the festival and they've jumped back on board. So I think, you know, having a really cool, vibrant band at a really interesting venue, it really closes down the festival really, really well. So that's an exciting show for us. Checkerboard Lounge, Julian Wilson's show, that's already sold out. Solomon Sisse. Who else we got? Jimmy Hawkins coming. Like, there's stacks. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, this is great. This is great. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? Building up something like this is very exciting for the town, and it's going to be exciting for the people who buy tickets and get on board. So tell us, how do people get tickets and get on board?
So we've gone with a different strategy this year to previous festivals. So in the past, people would buy a festival pass and just mill about and go wherever they wanted. But when we spoke with the venue operators, because of the different capacities, that each year they kept saying back to the festival that it doesn't work because they keep having to say no to people to pay for a ticket. And then you've got people that bought something that feel entitled to be somewhere and can't get in. So each event this year is individually ticketed and they can be purchased at our website, waynejazzblues.com.au. And what we've found by doing this, you know, we've got people that only want to come and see one show, they can pay $30 and experience a festival rather than having to spend sort of $200 or whatever on a weekend pass. So, you know, we've been able to broaden our reach and get people involved that might not otherwise be able to.
Oh, that's interesting. So you've actually taken feedback from all the various venue operators and stuff. Was there a breakdown of communication between the previous organisers and the town?
Oh, it's a hard dynamic to explain. Like, Wangaratta used to have this event, Reed Street. They block off the main street. And it was huge, a big free event. And, you know, that ultimately got too successful because everyone could just come to the free event, not pay any money. It got really expensive and then the festival sort of went, oh, how are we going to pay for all this? This year, When I realised that I was probably the person that was going to have to run this, I went, well, what do I know about all this? I'm friends with all the venue operators in town. And the benefit of using their existing infrastructure and expertise was that, we didn't have to pay so many insurance costs.
Ah, right. Because I was wondering about that, because that's the big thing, isn't it, at the moment, public liability.
Correct. The insurance cost, and then we just didn't have the personnel there to run 30 or 40 shows. So, with 13 or 14 venues that do this all the time, they're running two shows each. It's a walk in the park for them, really. So it just made sense to go with that strategy, given our timeline. And
Well, that just sounds clever to me. So are you a musician yourself?
Yeah, I play double bass. My band scored this really cool gig in the festival. They're playing with the local orchestra, but I just haven't had time to practice, so I had to pull out and pass it on to someone else. I was like, it probably won't work anyway, it's too big a show. And then I went and sat in the rehearsal the other day and I went, oh my God, I'm missing out on something amazing.
Yeah, you're missing out big.
Well, you could still do a cameo at some point, just jump in for a song.
No, I've made a really big point to sort of not make it all about me, this stuff. So,
yeah, and where does the government come in all of this? Have you received any funding? Is there any arts help for you like that?
Yeah, the real story, I think, has been the donations and the sponsorships from private people. So the answer is yes, and we're really grateful for the government support. They've come in with Festivals Australia, Music Victoria and Visit Victoria have all chipped in some money.
Great.
The real story, I think, came in sort of February or March when Sarah, who is on our board, she's a philanthropic expert.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've picked good people, obviously.
Yeah, so her and I sort of sat down and said, well, we've got all this emotional support around town. We have to turn this into some money so that when we go and ask for the government grants and sponsorship, we can prove that we can put on something valuable. So we picked up 120 donors and raised $60,000. So then that meant we could go hire Surge, which gave us some credibility. It meant we could lock in two or three shows and then we could go around asking for sponsorship and show the government that, hey, we've done this prep. We just need a bit of a push-up to turn this good event into something great.
Yeah, good on you. That's great.
And then the government stuff's just going to give us a boost, now we've got a projector show going through town, so there'll be sort of a lot of buildings lit up.
Oh, wonderful. And, I love that stuff.
Yeah, Sarah's been really, really amazing.
Yeah, what she's done is bind the whole town, because that's what I was thinking about, how is it going to visually look like that it's Wangaratta, and that's how you've done it. Yeah, clever.
Yeah, and then we sort of tried to get a lot of signage up and I sort of went a bit rogue and started putting posters up on power poles and stuff, which is a no-no in town, but the storm sorted that out last night. They've all been washed off, so...
Well, it's good you're sticking to Jazz's roots, really, flying on the seat of your pants, mildly, I don't know, bordering on ethics-type promotion. It's good. It's great.
You'll have to use chalk.
That's a really good point, though, because, if you look at the origins of this music, it didn't come from people that were well behaved, you probably got people that didn't have a stack of money back then, they had to cut as well, and look what they turned it into. So
yeah, it's great. In like sharp contrast to a lot of jazz events I've seen in this city, this is something that, from the sounds of it, the ethos has been by the people, for the people, by the community, for the community and stuff. And then everyone else is invited. So what better way to have a music event than that?
Yeah, it's super exciting. And like I said, if you get here and get to walk around and just chat to, if you see someone stacking some chairs, chances are they've got a pretty cool story on why they're doing it.
So it's November the 1st to the 4th. And tell the listeners where they can get their tickets again.
WangJazzBlues.com.au. All our tickets are online.
Yeah, and thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Andrew.
Thanks for having me. I always get excited when I get to talk about it. We've done a lot of work. We're pumped to put it on. So
I will see you up there.
Good. See you soon.